Okay, so we're on top Chavchet today. Okay, we're on 28A in Gittin. We'll begin around 10 lines to the top in the Mishnah. That's where we got up to last night. Okay, Manitin, Amebigef bini chozakein ochola. So there's always a shliach lahava. In other words, somebody who is a messenger to bring a get. So let's say Reuven is a husband and he delegates Shimon to bring the get. So Shimon is bringing the get, and the last time he saw Reuven, Reuven was a zakein. He was an elderly person. The Gemara will explain what a zakein is. O chole, or Reuven was ill. So the Gemara says, no tain law. He, nevertheless, Shimon is the shliach. He can give her the get. The presumption that Reuven is still alive. In other words, let's say it takes a month. Maybe Reuven's in France, and his wife is in Eretz Israel, and he gives the get to Shimon. So when Shimon gets to Eretz Israel, last time he saw Reuven, he wasn't a youngster, or he was sick. So nevertheless, he can give it to him with the presumption that Reuven is alive. Now, the one issue that Rabbi Leibowitz brought up today, let's say Reuven is both Zaken and a Cholet. So from the Mishnah, it would sound like not, but he was quoting from the Amshel Shlomo, that even if he's a Zaken and a Cholet, he can give it to her. And we'll see, he wants to say that the Mishnah broke it up because of a diet that we're going to have. Now, Bat Yisrael and Suna the Kohen, if a Bat Yisrael is married to a Kohen, Balach Balon Dina Yam, her husband went off, she's in Eretz Yisrael, the husband went off to France, O Chelet Petruma, Becheska Trukayam, means, and she doesn't have any children, so her old ticket to Truma is just through her husband, so she can continue Truma with the presumption that he's still alive. In other words, he went off to France, maybe the last time she saw was 6 months ago, so she hasn't heard anything. She can presume that he's still alive, the pre-existing chazaka. And Rabbi Leibowitz was saying that would be true even if he had been a zakein or a chola. That would also be the case. Then the third case in the Mishnah is hashaleh chatzo. If a person sends a korban chatat mimdina yam, and a korban chatat is the mezid he did it a beir that we chayv karet, so the mishogeg you bring korban chatat. So we can offer the korban in the Beis HaMikdash with the presumption that the one who sent it is still alive. Let's look at the Rashi on that. We'll do two Rashis. We don't have to be afraid that the husband died. The shlichus has been terminated. So Rashi says, the Gemara Kulin learns that there's a presumption. We leave something in its last, known status, right? The status quo ante is the way we assume. Then makriven ota the korban chatat below chayshin shemaytu baleha lumita asa. So now, family people, I'm sure remember there's five chatot meitot. There are five korban chatat where the animal has to die, means locked into a room, then it starves to death. And when it's chatat shemaytu baleha, if the owners are dead, we can't offer it on the mizbeach. So Mishnah has had three halachot, basically. In each case, the halacha is that we can assume the person is still alive. So we had the halacha by the get, we assume the husband is still alive. The halacha by the kohen, who's married to the Bas Yisrael, we assume he's still alive, permitted to eat truma. And the third halacha, if a person is saying korban chatat, it arrives in Yerushalayim a month later, so we can still assume that the person is still alive. Okay? Any questions, comes to us, anything we did in the Mishnah so far? Yeah, that's what we're talking about, right? No. What do you say? Is it? No, it could be that he's just he could be living in France and sending the korban chatat. Most likely, he would send the money or the direction to be mapresh the money, and then what? Say again, what? Wait, say again. Who put what on? No. In other words, no. So again, so more likely the shliach would buy the animal in Eretz Yisrael. That would be the more likely scenario than to travel with a lamb from France or whatever to the Beis HaMikdash. That would be the more likely scenario. But in once the animal has been designated, so you can't redeem it unless it gets a mum. Then it's limited what you could do with it. Okay, let's see back in the Gemara now. All right, so the Gemara says, "I'm a Rava, lo shana lezakein shogi legurot v'chol esherov chol en l'chayim." So, focusing on the first halacha in the Mishnah, we said that if a person's maybe get and he left the husband with zakein or chola. So Rava says the Mishnah is talking about he's zakein, but he hasn't yet gotten to the age of gevurot. What are gevurot? So Rashi says the gevurot in the 10th hour line of Rashi, Shimon Shna, listen to the Kra. We know that there's a pasuk that we say every Shabbat morning. Our lifetime is 70 years. With strength, 80 years. I mean, kind of hard. People live a little bit longer today and people should have long lives. But that's what the Gemara calls Gevurot. So it says, so Rava says the Mishnah is talking about he's a Zakein, but he didn't get the Gevurot. In other words, let's say he'd be 75. So I can still assume he's still alive. He says, the Chola, Shrov Chol Machain. And he's sick. It wasn't like such a serious illness. He was just sick. And most cholim, most people do recuperate from the illnesses. Aval zaken shegila gvurot, but if the husband had already reached age 80 or more, the goseis, or his illness was much more serious. Goseis is like a person in his death throes, like he's got like the serious terminal illness, shrov goseis in lamita. So most goseis in die, says low. Then I can't assume that he's still alive. So if I left him in a very precarious situation, the Gemara takes it over 80 is a precarious situation, or he was goseis, then I can't assume he's still alive. Let's take a look. He says, okay, so that's Rav's qualification in the halacha and Mishnah. So Efe Abaye, so Abaye poses a question to Rava from the following Brisa. The Brisa says, Hamevi get, v'hini chozakein, if a person is bringing a get, and he left the husband, was an elderly person, afil ben me'ashana, even if the husband was 100 years old, no he, the shliach, can deliver the get to the woman with the presumption that the husband is still alive. So Rava said, you know, once you're over 80, you can't do this. And here we have where the Bryce says, you're 100, and you can do it. So it's Tiyuftin. So Gemara says, Rava is all up Gishlach. So it sounds like, at least in terms of age, the sky's the limit, we think. But the Gemara says, or in the alternative, you could say, came to Iflig. In Achinami, when a person's 80, then it's more likely that he may not survive. But once he gets to a certain age and he's, you know, around, then all bets are off. Let's see Rashi on this, and then we'll stop and take questions. And the Rashi came into Iflig around 10 on the 10th hour line. Came into Iflig, Mishar Derek Kol Haaretz, Shehe Erich Yamiva Me'ashana. If we see that a person already lived to 100, so he's in good shape. Iflig, Ve'enu Kishar Ha'adam, he's not like the typical person. Yod karov lomot aval ben shmonim ba'achat o yoter atishim karov lomot hu. Where Rashi takes it from age 80 to 90, so then you know you don't know. He's we can't guarantee that he'll live. Well, once he's over 90, he's like kind of in a hurry. He's living so long, you know. He's kibetched, so he can have. So that's the two ways. So again, so with the chola part, we're not cholite. So. In Achinami, we're saying if a person's a chola, so then we assume he's alive. If he's goseis, then we can't assume he's alive. And then alternatively, in terms of the age, so either the pshat is there is no time limit with it, or it could be that there is a time limit, you know, over 80 to 90, the way Rashi learns, that maybe we don't know which way the wind's going to blow. But once he's over 90, then he's in a whole different getter. Okay, who's took questions, comments, thoughts on anything so far? Okay, let's keep moving.
All right.
Yeah, okay, 1 second. Yeah, that's the Goran take. The rope goes to the meter. Okay. So let's keep it. Would you want to say something on Moshe?
Yeah, I'm going to be 76. My doctors looked at me and they told me I have to prepay each visit.
All right.
No more credit. Prepay each visit. No more credit.
All right. Well, you should have much bracha for many years of good health. Yeah. Good kibbutz, you know, many more years. Okay. Now.
Rabbi, if a person passes the age of 80, why are you going to say 81 to 90 is a danger zone? You pass 80, yeah. You already passed that mark, you are...
Well, you know, they have... What do they have those charts they have from with the insurance? What do they call those? Yeah, right. So, like, if you look at the actuarial charts, you know, I remember once when I was practicing law, I had a client... And it was a slip and fall case, and she had injured herself, but she was an elderly woman. I said to her, you know, like, in terms of damages, you know, the amount you can recover is limited. In other words, like on the charts, Like it's kind of, you know, like she had like over two years to live, you know, something like that. I said, I hope you live many years, but that's the way it is on the charts. And that's the way they look at it in terms of settlement. So you're asking me like, we hope people live long lives, but the Metzius is that, you know, everybody dies and, you know, more likely when you get to that point in time that, you know, you're closer to death. But once you're over 90, so then at least the one who came to the Gemara, he's living so long, who, you know, he'll go on and on. Okay, now let's take a look back on the Gemara. So now, Ramili Abaye L'Rabba. Now, Abaye poses a question to Rabba. Rabba, we haven't had yet, the Gemara. And Rabba was his uncle and his Rebbe. So Ramili Abaye L'Rabba, Tanan. So he's going to pose a contradiction between our Mishnah and a Braisa. So Tanan, we learned in our Mishnah, maybe get so in our Mishnah we learned you have the shliach who's bringing the get and the person who is the mishaleach, the husband, with either a zakin or a chola, but the presumption is he's still alive. Raminhu, on this we pose a contradiction with the following braisa. If a man gives a get to his wife, says this is your get, will be effective 1 hour before I die. In other words, he says, Lamitato, but he means the Kodon Lamitati. In other words, he says, and he's a Kohen. Asura lechob truma miyad. So immediately, she cannot eat truma. In other words, let's say she wants to have a truma luncheon with her husband, who's the Kohen. So she can't do that because he might die right after he benches. If he dies after they bench, so he's divorced an hour before then. So here in our Mishnah, we're saying, there's a presumption that a person is still alive. But over there, we think there's a presumption that the person could die at any moment. So let's see back, and that's a biased question. It says, so that's the question Abaye posed to Rabbah. So Amar Lay, so Rabbah says back to Abaye, Truma Gitin Karamit? You're asking me a question, a contradiction between Adin and Truma. And
mixing Adin. Kasha with Mun.
Right, you are. 1 second. let me get my icons here. Okay, you'll mute yourself, right? Okay, now. So he says, Amarle Truma Gitin Karamit, Truma Efshar. In other words, when it comes to Truma, it means like this. We'll assume that there's a chazaka. We'll assume that the status continues on, but only when we have to. Only when we have to. So he says, Truma is Efshar. It means Truma, I can say a person, you know, to be on the safe side, don't eat Truma. In other words, then you remove every suffix. So don't eat Truma, and you're never going to run into problems. He says, get, low Efshar. With the get, in other words, that would put us out of business with delivering any get. Nobody would ever be able to deliver a get if I'm worried that a person's going to die at any moment. So we do rely on the chazaka, but only we have to. By get, we have to. Truma, we don't have to. Let's look at Rashi on this. Truma Efshar, the 15 lines from the bottom of Rashi. He says, Truma Efshar Liot Nizona B'chulin. So she could, you know, be, you know, supported with Chulin. Get lo Efshar L'meichash L'mita. By get, I can't be worried about death all the time. He chayshit, Ein L'chash L'ech Get L'ishto, B'hein Aguno. Nobody will ever send a get. And always women will be Aguno. Okay, that's Rabbah's answer. Let's take a look back on the Gemara. Now, the only thing is with this, if you look, it is Tosfos, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. The fifth third white line in Tosfos. See, Tosfos is asking, I'll sit the Tosfos outside, and this is where Lee was pointed this Tosfos out. The Mishnah that we had here wasn't just talking about Gittin, right? In other words, he's saying you're asking constantly Truma and Gittin. So the Mishnah says Gittin, I can assume he's alive. But our Mishnah said you can also rely on the presumption he's alive for Truma. And relying on it also for the chatat. So it's all three. It's not really. It's, let's see the Tosfos. Truma Efshar, Tema. Tema, we know, is Tosfos' strongest question. So Tema, Bechiloye Yudeha Mataretz Manitin de Truma Ve'ika Lakshuye Truma Truma Kibasama. In other words, didn't the one who gave the answer knew that what our mission is also talking about Truma? So we can ask that I have a contradiction between Truma and Truma, which the Gemara is going to ask in a few lines. Yesh Lomar. So, in other words, the Gemara answers each question as it comes, teases it out, and then builds it up slowly. So, in other words, for now, you ask the question the way you ask the question, Abaye, that's my answer. But then the Gemara will tease it out and build it up. So, let's take a look back on the Gemara. So, Now we're 6-8 lines above where we get why. Rami Truma Truma. So now the Gemara says, or Abaye says, we can ask contradiction between Truma and Truma. So now we learned in our Mishnah, this is the next clause in our Mishnah. But Yisrael Nesuah LeKohen, if Yisrael is married to a Kohen, Balach Balon Dina Nagam, her husband went off to the Velta Rhine, Ochelet Truma Bechetz Kutchukayam. So the Mishnah says she can continue eating Truma with the presumption that he's alive. I haven't heard anything. I assume he's still alive. Raminu, on this we pose a contradiction with the following brisa, with the brisa we just said above. Harezik yiteich sha'achar, kodam mitato, asur lefo b'truma miyad. So in other words, that which we sort of dodged before, now the Gemara is asking front and center, that we have a stira between the clause in our Mishnah that speaks about truma and this brisa, which also speaks about, eating truma if he gave her a get an hour before, the effect of an hour before his death. So Amar Rav Ada b'Reid Rav Yitzchak, Shani Hatam, Shrei Asra Lav Sha'achat Kodem Itato. So he says, the case in that Brisa isn't exactly the same as the case in the Mishnah. The case in the Mishnah is, I haven't heard anything, assume he's still alive. The case in the Brisa is that everybody is going to die eventually. Everybody's going to die eventually. And it's right now, it's not, in other words, right now we're not saying, in other words, right now I can assume he's still alive. In other words, right now for the present, I assume he's still alive, but it doesn't mean he's going to live forever. So since everyone is going to die eventually, I have to be choshesh that maybe, an hour from now, he will die and then he'll all be divorced. So Rashi says it's sort of a dochak answer, but that's the answer to the Gemara right now. Makiv l'Rapapa, to Rapapa, asks a question like this. Who says that the husband is going to be the one to die first? Maybe the wife will be the one to die first. And if she's the one to die first, then she can continue eating truma for the rest of her life. Excuse me. So Abaye says, there's no contradiction. Well, our Mishnah follows the Tan Rav Meir. Rav Meir is not choshesh for mita. In other words, I don't have to worry about somebody dying. In other words, everybody does die, but I don't have to be choshesh for it. And Rav Yehuda is choshesh for mita. All right, let me get Rashi out. Let me go further. Okay, now we have the Tan, but he says on the bottom, should be the Tan. We learned the Brisa, and this will be familiar for Daf Yomi people because we just had this on Shabbos. He says, and look at all the places in Shas where it's icon for you on the side, that it's quoted all over the place. So if you remember this Brisa, it'll hold you in good stead. So he says, Tanya, if a person bought wine from the Kutim, again, the Kutim were these people who, converted to Judaism and then originally lions, so they gave a riot, but then according to at least one opinion of the Gemara, they eventually sincerely converted to Judaism, but then they weren't so firm. They weren't observing everything so well. And in particular, they didn't keep up on that they learned. It means literally, the four blind persons don't put a stumbling block. So they didn't have any compunctions about giving sort of like non-kosher wine to the chaverim or to the Jews, the other Jews. So I have to be worried that trumas and masas were not taken from this wine. So it's not like the Ami Ha'aretz. The Ami Ha'aretz all took truma. The Ami Ha'aretz most took masro. The kutim, I don't know anything is taken. Says Omer, so he doesn't have a keli to separate, but he would like to have some wine. Omer, shnei lugim shani yatid, assuming he had 100 lugim to begin with. Omer, shnei lugim shani yatid lahafrish, he said the two lugim that I will eventually separate, harehin truma, that's truma. Asara, and then 10 lugim, that's maaser rishon. And then you don't have as much anymore. He says, tisha maaser sheni. So I had 100 originally, and now I'm down to 88, or where do you get the idea? So he says, 9 are Master Sheni. Mechel, and then he deconsecrates Master Sheni. He says, I have some money at home, I'm part of that, whatever he can do, he has to do. Shotam Yad Rameir. He could drink immediately, that's what Rameir says. Rameir, the Gemara comes out, and there's a part of the Brisa that's not quoted here, but Rameir holds, I'm not afraid, that for B'chid Anot, I'm not afraid that the wineskin will split open, and that I'll never separate the Trumas and Masros, and then I'll be in Kahak the Tzuris, as we would say. In other words, Rameir says, I'm not afraid. Right. In other words, I'm not. And the same Rameir who says, I'm not afraid that the wineskin will split open and the wine, that's also not choshesh for Mita. In other words, Mita is always on the, It is possible, but a Rebbe Meir is not choshesh for that. Wait, three lines. We'll get to it now. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Shimon, Osim. But the Tana, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Shimon, they aser. And so Rashi says, Shemi Bekano, because they're afraid that the wineskin will open up. So we think right now that our Mishnah that says that if the person, you know, his wife is in Eretz Yisrael, she can eat the truma, I'm not afraid of anything. We think that's a Rebbe Meir. It's possible to die, but it's, I don't have to worry about the sort of like remote possibilities. But the other Tanaim, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Shimon, say, I do have to worry about a remote possibility. And they would say, no, you. So the other Bryson says, the way the Gemara says right now, that you divorced from me, an hour before, or you're divorced an hour before I die. So that would be like these other Tanaim who are afraid, you know, of death. Now, I'll just post a few lines, Mike. I'll get to you, okay? So Rava Amar, what do you want to say? From you to these coaches. So, Choshe Shlom Yuta is a little different, I think. Choshe Shlom Yuta is, let's say, statistically, I know that 5% of kids will be, let's say, a Sarit or an Ayalini. And so do I have to be Choshe that this one in the Mia? So maybe it was Choshe for that Mia. But in this case, it's different. He's saying, it was everybody will die. But I'm not afraid for a remote possibility. That's similar, but a little different, I think. Let's see back in the Gemara. So now, Rav. Okay, so that's one answer. Rav Amar, term page, the top line on Amud Beis. Rav Amar, Shema Mei Lo Chayshinan, Shema Yamur Chayshinan. Rav says, this is a different answer. Rav wants to say the case in the Mishnah is different than the case in the Braisa. The case in the Mishnah is, did he die in the past? So I don't have to be worried, Shema Mei. I'm not going to be worried. As far as I know, he was alive. I have no reason to believe that he died, so I'm not worried that he's dead. But Shema Yamut, maybe he will die. That's a horse of a different color. You know, it's possible he will die in the future. So I'm choshesh for that. That's the way Rava understands it. So I'm only Ravada Bar Matna the Rava, Bahanod the Shema Yamutu. He says, but what about with the wineskin? The wineskin, that's equivalent to maybe he will die. It's something taking place in the future. Upli. And nevertheless, we see. And so in other words, the way that Rava wants to say is there is no machloket. In other words, everybody holds Shema Meit, I'm not choshesh. Shema Yamut, I am choshesh. So he said, is that the case? But we have with the Shema Yamut, the wineskin is like Shema Yamut. Maybe something will occur in the future and there's a machloket there. So it can't be everybody holds that way. So he says, Amar Rabbi Yehuda mi diskarta shani naod de efshar demaser le the shomer. He says, look, the node is a little bit different. That the
that's the one.
Yeah, in other words, node. He says, yeah. Meir says, I'm not choshesh with the node. In other words, everybody is choshesh shem yamod, but with the node, there's a way around it. I could have somebody guarding the node, and then it won't. Then I don't have to worry about it. So that's why Ramirez is cholik with that. In other words, you know, Kanami, everybody would be choshesh for Shemi Yamut, but here there's a way to get it around it. Makivar Masharshia, Sharshia asks, Arvitzarech, he says, then your guarantor needs a guarantor. You know, there's a line from the Roman historian Martial, qui custodiat custodian, who's going to watch the watchman? So the same thing here. So like, who's going to watch the shomer? Ela Amarava, Shema Meit Lo Chayshin, and Rava says, Shema Meit, you're right. No, nobody's choshesh. Shema Yamut tonight. Shema Yamut is machloket tonight. So in the Mishnah is the case of Shema Meit. Did he die in the past? Nobody's worried about that. Will somebody die in the future? Then that's a machloket tonight. So one Bryce says, you know, this is your get, and it'll be effective an hour before I die. So the Bryce says, yeah, she can't have it anymore. That's a Shema Yamut. But then, even with Shema Yamut, we see that Rameir is not afraid with Shema Yamut, but the node. So that's machloket tanaim. Okay, so now, who's your question that comes to us and anything we did so far? Everybody good? Here, I'll show all the people.
Rabbi, one comment. When it says sha'a, it's a sha'a kala, it's a moment, not an hour necessarily. Do you agree?
Yeah. Okay. Now, All right. All right. We have some time. Let me just, I have a little piece here. He quotes about the Zakin L'chola piece. Okay, so we said that if the person's ill, then there's a chazaka that he's still alive. If he's a goseis, then all bets are off. All bets are off. Now, the Beis Shmuel is one of the notes that Kalim in Shulchan Aruch on Ebenezer. So the Beis Shmuel explains that this halach is relevant if the husband is childless and his death is not preceded by divorce, when his wife Shabbat or Chalitza. The Mishnah teaches that even though the husband was old or sick when last seen by the Shaliach, the get effectively releases his wife from potentially Yibam Chalitza obligation. In other words, he left him, he was sick. Here's the get. So now you're off from Yibam and Chalitza, we think. He says, since we assume the husband was still alive when the Shaliach delivered the get. If, however, the husband was on his deathbed when he sent the get, his wife may not remarry on the basis of the get unless we can ascertain that the husband is still alive when the shliach delivers the get. Before remarrying, she would have to obtain a release from the possible Yibam bond by forming chalitza with one of her husband's brothers. Okay, the Maharid explains that even in the latter case, where there's no cheskes chai, such as the goseis, we do not withhold the get and compel the woman to remain in aguna and definitely bound to her overseas, possibly dead husband. Rather, shliach delivers the get and the woman is instructed to perform chalitza before remarrying. So the way the Maharid is saying, we would, let's say he left the husband and the husband was a ghost case. So what should the shliach do? So he's saying that the shliach should deliver the get and then the woman should do chalitza to like double protect herself. We don't know what took place in France. We know he was ghost case 3 months ago. He delivered in the get. So what do we do now? So the Maharid is saying, deliver the get. The woman, you know, and then do chalitza and cover yourself. The Marashach, based on the words of the Rambam, disagrees and maintains that in such a case, when there's no cheskes chai, shliach is instructed not to deliver the get. He explains that the sages are concerned that if the get is given, the woman will be viewed by herself and others as a bade grusha, and she might remarry without performing the required chalitza. Therefore, the get must be withheld until the husband's condition can be ascertained. So that's a little tricky with that. Okay, now it goes further. So we said that the halacha is applicable with possible Yibam Chalitza obligation when he's a goseis. He says, however, if the dying husband has children or does not have brothers, her husband's condition is irrelevant because the wife may remarry upon the receipt of the get mimonoshach. If her husband's death preceded divorce, she's going to remarry as a widow. And if divorced due to the death, she's permitted to remarry as well as a divorcee. In other words, what's the nafkamina? In other words, right. So, we're going to get there. So, wait. So the husband was a ghost, so he gave the get. Now, so we said one nafkamina would be if there's a Yibam or Chalitza situation. But let's say they have kids, so that's off the table. So now where are we holding? What's the nafkamina? Either way, this marriage has been terminated. So the Marcheshes is a Rav Agus. He lived over 100 years ago. And the Rashash maintained the Mishnah Salach is relevant even in non-Yibam situations. By rabbinic decree, it is forbidden for a woman to remarry within 3 months of her husband's death or divorce to avoid confusion regarding the paternity of a child conceived during that period. The Mishnah in Yivam and Mem Aleph, we had here also. This waiting period is called 3 months of Havkana, detection. The Gemara on Yud Chet, Tzayt Shmuel asserts the 3 month Havkana period begins at the time of the Ktiva Get, the writing of the Get. A divorcee is permitted to remarry to remarry 3 months after the date on the get, even if the get was not given until 3 months later. Remember, we spoke between Rav and Shmuel. So Rav held when the get is delivered, Shmuel holds when the get is written, because once the get's written, he can't have relations with her. There is no concern that she can see the child with her husband after the writing of the get. It is forbidden to live with one's wife after writing a get for her. The Marcheshet suggests that the Mishnah's halacha is relevant with regard to the 3 month waiting period of Havkana. He explains that if the husband is a goseis when he sent the get, then his wife would not be permitted to remarry 3 months from the date on the get, because we must entertain the possibility that the husband's death preceded the divorce, rendering the get invalid. Even though the husband's death permits her to remarry as a widow, she must count 3 months from the time of her husband's death. Since the time of the husband's death is unknown, she's required 3 months from the time she receives the get. Our Mishnah teaches that if the husband was old or sick, but not a goseis, his wife's been remarried 3 months after the date on the get. because he has a cheskos chai, and we need not suspect that he died prior to the divorce. Okay, now, all right, he's got more on this, but I think I'm going to call it a day with this. Yeah, well, go ahead.
In both cases, that's the but if the husband died, she's going to get the Yerusha.
Yeah.
How are we going to know if he's dead when he had to get the Yerusha?
Yeah. So Yerusha is a separate question, but the. All right, I mean, in other words, he's saying we don't know if he's dead or alive, so we're not gonna take his Yerusha until we know he's dead. But the wife's status is what we're concerned with here. With Yerusha, it'll have to be dealt with, you know, differently. I don't know what to say. All right, let's see further. All right, let's see further in the line. Now we're in Chaf Chedem Beis, around 8 lines from the top. Okay, Hashleich Chatum Dinoyah Mechuli. So we said in the Mishnah that another case where we can assume that the person is alive, he sent a korban chatat in din layam. So the Gemara says the korban chatat, the din smicha is that the baalim put their hands on the head of the animal and pressed down with all their strength. So how is he going to do that? If he's a medina sayam, how is he going to do smicha with the korban? So Amar Yosef, the korban nashim. So if Yosef says it's something about a woman's korban, so when the Torah says Daber Bnei Israel, because I'll understand that men do smicha and women don't do smicha. So that could be one pshat in the Mishnah. Rapapa says, I could say it's talking about he's being a chatat, but he's being a korban oath. So the chatat oath is for a limited korban oath, but there are some limited aveirot, but there are certain aveirot that you bring chatat oath, and there's no smicha with a bird. Now the Gemara says utsricha. Now the Gemara has, going back to a different point, we had three cases in the Mishnah. One with get, one with truma, and one with the korban chatat, in each case assuming that the person is still alive. So why do we need to teach us all the three halacha, the sricha? The yeshmin and get, if the Tana would have only told me in the case of get, yishim delo efshar, I would say you have to rely on it. In other words, the reason that you can assume when he's still alive, there's no way to ever have anybody deliver a get if I assume he's dead. So that in that case, I'll rely on it. He says about truma, the efshar, but by truma, where the person could, you know, refrain from eating truma, so I would think not that way, aim low, so kamash malan, that even there, we can rely on the chazaka. The yeshmin and truma, and if he only told me the case of truma, zimin de lo efshar, sometimes even with truma, there are situations where she's very poor, so and she needs the money, so then she's that's a case you have to go forward with it. About chatat ha'ov, misfeka lo leil chul lazara, with the chatat. And there's a question whether both belongs there or not. But I would say this is a topic. If it's not a korban, I'm bringing chulin in the azar, which is an aveira. So you can't rely on the chazaka. So it's free because the kamash one is good. And that's why you teach them all three cases. Okay. Any questions, comments, thoughts, anything we did so far? It doesn't make a difference, old, new, or invariable. In other words, the husband in the Mishnah, he went off to the Veltarine. The last we know, he's alive. But now a month or two or three has passed the line. Okay, now. So it sounds like, yeah, so the Shliach doesn't help in terms of Smicha, but it sounds like he would really need to be there and do the Smicha stuff. That's what it sounds like. Now, okay, Manitin. But so that could be the case. Now, Manitin. So Shadvarim Amar Rav Lazar ben Prat l'tei Chachamim. There were three things that Rav Lazar ben Prat said before the Chachamim. The king went to Barav, and he sustained his words. In other words, they approved of it. Yershi Kufa Karkom, concerning a city that was surrounded by an army. Karkom was like a besieging army. V'ahasfina mutarefet bayam, and a boat that was being tossed at sea. V'ayotzi lidon, and a person who's being judged in court for, let's say, a capital crime. Shem b'cheskan chayamim. In all those cases, so the fact that the last thing we know about the city, there was a besieging army about it. There's no reason for me to assume that they were conquered. And then the ship that was being tossed at sea, there's no reason to assume that the ship sunk and everybody's dead. And the other case, the person who's being judged, no reason to assume that he was executed. But if the city was conquered by this besieging army, the ship went down at sea is one thing to understand it, even though it's possible people survived the sinking. But Yotzi Lihareg, and a person was already sentenced to death and being taken out to be executed, So in that case, we'll be misupak on the lives of the people in the city, or the people on the boat, or the people, or the person being taken out to be executed. And so for the survivors, we have to be machmir both ways, that maybe he's alive or maybe he's dead, whichever gives us the greater chumra, stringency. As follows, Bat Yisrael a Kohen, let's say she's a Bat Yisrael married to a Kohen, and she has no children. So the Kohen is her truma ticket. So now she can't eat truma. In other words, her husband was in the city, the husband's on the ship, the husband was being taken to be executed, so she can't eat truma, because unless we have a bar, he's still alive. That's the chumra for Maitin. We have to assume the worst case that he's dead. And then Ubak Kohen Israel, let's say she was from a Kohen family and married to Israel, so if he's out of the picture, she can go back to eating her truma. Here, we're going to be machmir and say that maybe the husband is still alive. Lo tokal b'truma. So neither one of those cases can they eat truma. It was going to be machmir both ways. Okay, any questions, comments, listeners? Go ahead, quickly. No, she's married. That's the whole thing. The brothers don't do anything for her. Okay. In other words, we're going to discuss it more in the Gemara, but the trial ended and he was sentenced to death and we saw him being taken out to be executed, but we don't know whether he's in fact executed. Okay, now, so the Gemara says, Amar of Yosef, Lo Shanu Veitin Shleisro. So the case that Yosef was just asking about, person was being taken out Leharei, to be executed, right? What's the language of the Gemara? Yosef Leharei. So we're talking about a Jewish court. But if it's a non-Jewish court, once he's been sentenced to death, Miktal Katale, like so long, you know, he's insisted, yeah. So Amarle Abaye. So Abaye says to Rabbi Yosef, who says the Goyish courts? They can even bribe them. Who says the fact that he's taken out of the execute maybe he's still alive? So Amarle, so he said, and here you're going to need a little help with the translation on this, Michael. I'll give some translations here, but you'll tell me from the Rabbi Steinsaltz. So Amarle, he shockly becoming luchtam purse shanman. So they'll take a bribery the way Rashi learns before the Pesach Din has been issued. So if you get into them to bribe them before, you know, they issue the proclamation needs to be dead, you can do that. Now, the way Tosfos learns, if you look, it's a small Tosfos, three lines from the bottom. Peter Shabin Chanel, dying gadol shalem. He learns, like, that their dayan hasn't signed off on it. And I don't know if any Farsi similar to this, but we'll see in a minute. What? You're right. He says, Lebatar de Mechtam Pursi Shanmag, but after final decree has been signed or this judge has signed off on it, Loshakli. They won't take bribes anymore. So again, Sir Yosef says, our mission is talking about you have a Jewish court, so we'll see. In other words, sometimes they can be Malami Zechus on the person, even after the judgment has been issued. Then they can be Malami Zechus and undo the judgment. But the non Jewish court, your history, your toast. Okay, what do you have on this on Pursi Shanmag?
Verdict.
What language?
Russian.
Okay. Right. Wait. Hold on. With the Jewish court, we said we're misupak one way or the other way. In the non-Jewish court, we said he's dead. He's dead. So Bat Kohen, right, correct. Okay, now Meitve. So this we ask Kasha from the following brisa. So Meitve, so we said we're focusing on the Jewish court. So we're thinking that the Jewish court, it ain't over till it's over. You still have another shot at it. So Meitve, Koma Kom Shiamdu Shnayim Biyomru Meidinanu Rish Ploni Shnigbar Dina Beit Dino Shal Ploni Uploni. This is talking about a case where it's talking about Mishani Mardino Barach, that he had the Gemara did against him, and then he fled. He fled the jurisdiction. He's been on the lam. And now we apprehend him, and Edim show up and say, we know this person, and he was sentenced to death by this Bezdin, let's say, in Tveria. He says, So he can be executed. So here it doesn't sound like, in other words, we said that even after the Gzar Din, if it's the Jewish court, maybe there'll be Malami Zechus. And here, we're having testimony that it was a Gzar Din, and we're executing him. We're not, you know, doing one way or another way. So the Gemara says, Dilma Boreach Shani. Maybe when he's a Boreach, he's a fugitive from justice. It's different. So there's different ways to touch this up. You could say, like, Mitzada Din, that's the way to go. But, you know, but in Akinami, that they, you know, could be trying to be Malami Tzachos even after the final verdict. But when he's, when he's a fugitive, we don't try to be Malami Tzachos on him. Or you could say that, you know, when he was Boreach, so the original court is not going to be Malami Tzachos on him. Or you could say, he had another shot here about Boreach. One minute. One second. Yeah, the fact that he's like still on the lam, that makes us think that they weren't lobbied so close on him. In other words, the fact that he's, you know, a future from justice, you know, most likely he's attuned to the latest news and things like that. Okay, so our shot is holding up so far. Okay, now let's go further in the Gemara. We're around, you know, 15 lines from the bottom. Tashma. Shemami Beit Din Shal Yisrael, Shu Omrim Ish Ploni Meid, Ish Ploni Nehrag. If we hear, you know, reliably from a Jewish court that somebody died, and died means that, well, we'll see, it could be that he was Chayav Kareid a few times, and he was a recidivist, so we would lock him up until he dies. Ish Ploni Nehrag, somebody was executed. Yes, see what Isho. Then we can marry his wife. In other words, if we hear reliably, from a Jewish court, this history, we can marry his wife. We come into race and shall take kochavim. If we hear from non-Jewish executioners, ishponi made ishponi nerag, ayasir ishto. Then we can't marry his wife. So my mate or my nerag. What does it mean, mate or nerag? He lay a mate mamash, but nerag mamash. If it means dead, nerag, he was killed, and he's got like nerag. You mean like locked in, he's in this thing and died, or whatever. He says, so why would I not be able to marry his wife if the Goyim tell us this? We hold that if a person like speaks and is innocent, and we're just having a conversation, so then we believe them. So they have no interest in saying one way or another way. And they just mentioned that, you know, ex got died, kill Elav, mate. So we think the shot in this brisa is, Alav, Nate, you'll say Lamut. Nate means he's being taken out in a way that he's going to die. And Nerag, you'll say Lareg, taken out to be executed. Bekatani Beitin Yisrael, you see what Ishtom. And it says if it's a Jewish court, to marry his wife. So in our Mishnah, we said that even though it's Yotzei Lehareg, and we, according to Rabbi Yosef, is talking about the Jewish court, doesn't mean that he was executed. We're not sure because the Green Lam is Chus. From this price, it sounds like the way we're learning right now that he's history. Leolam mate mamash v'nerag mamash. No, the Gemara says no. The Brisa means mate's dead. It's water under the bridge. They executed him. So by the non-Jewish court, why don't we believe them? They say we executed Ploni. They would say if a person speaks in his innocence, so we believe him, and they're just talking their innocence. It's only with the Goyim. Like, they don't take pride in executing the Jew or something like that. In other words, if, look at Rashi, Shaifiba says, in other words, here they're proud that they executed somebody violating their laws, so that they might lie on. So in Akinami, this is not a contradiction. That's telling that person was executed, and with the Goyim, we can't believe them because they could be puffing up the facts. Okay? Now, casual. Well, we had no reason. They just said, because the Mishnah, the Brisa just said that they say to us, Ish Ploni made, Ish Ploni Nerag. So the Goyim, if it's non Jewish court, presumably non Jews are saying it. Say again, what? Right? Oh, the Kuman Tree Sin. Oh, yeah, the executioners are saying it. So no, but it means like we're mentioning so this is what happened, you know, that type of thing. All right, now the bottom line of the Gemara. Let's see. The Ikedamri Amar Rav Yosef. Now a different lashon. Amar Rav Yosef Lo Shanu El Beitin Shel Zei Kochavim. In this lashon, it's the opposite of what we said before. That I don't know if he was executed if he was being taken out to be executed in the non-Jewish court. He says, top line, because the non-Jewish court, well, they could be bribed. So the fact that he was taken out to be executed, I don't know if he's actually executed. Maybe they bribed him. He says, Aval, on the top line on top 10 of Aleph, awaiting Shal Yisrael, but if it was a Jewish court, him and the Napakalei deem Lekhtala Kakalei. In the Jewish court, once the sentence is for death, they're going to execute him. So Amar Le Abaye, Beitin Shal Yisrael, Nami Efshar, the Kazblei Zikuta. So even the Beitin Shal Yisrael, you know, the Gemara Masech Sanhedrin says, they can be Lami Zikus even after he's away. And then they you know, they have a quick horse, they run, and they tell, and I think even the Talmid HaChamim who accompany him, if they Lami Zikus, they can come back. So he says, but very unlikely. They've spoken out everything already. It's water under the bridge. So the Gemara says on line 5, Lema Messiah, should we say the following Brisa supports this version of Rabbi Yosef? The Brisa says, Koma Koma Shem Dushnayim, Yomrum, Eden Anu, Adish Ploni, Shnig Bardina, Baitino Shaploni, the Ploni Ploni Adab, this is what we had before, that if people come forward and this person was a fugitive from justice and he's been apprehended, and if the witnesses come forward and say he was convicted in the Bezdin Tiberia and the A and B were his Adim, so we're raising Yahari, we're going to execute him. So the fact that we're going to execute him, that sounds like we're not going to be Lami Zikus for him. So that seems to prove what the way Rav Yosef was saying, even though it's a Jewish court. Dilma Boreach Shani. So the Gemara says, no, maybe that case was a Boreach. He was a fugitive from justice. Maybe in that case, like, they go a little harsher with him. You know, we said before that that Mitzada Din, you know, like, could execute him, but they try to learn his course. But with the Boreach, they don't try to do that way. Okay, so that's where I'm going to stop for tonight. Now, let me just read what? Katlanit, right. Right, correct. Okay, now, all right, now, he has about Rove Kolim B'chayim, Rove Gosim L'meita. So most people who are sick live, most people who are ghosts die. The Maharil writes that one should not daven for someone who is ill if the patient is in a different location out of concern that the patient may have died or recovered. So in other words, the Maharil is speaking in the Middle Ages. So I heard, you know, X was in a different town. I heard that he was sick. So he's saying, don't daven for him now because he may have died or recovered by the time you have the information. Nachla Shiva rejects this position and writes, it is evident from our Gemara that there are no grounds for this concern. Although there is concern that someone may die, Shem Yamut, there's no concern that someone already died, Shem Yamut. Even in a case where the patient was a Goseis, and the majority of patients reach the stage to Goseis die, nevertheless, it's permitted to daven on their behalf. The reason is that since Hashem's name is not invoked, there's no violation of a prohibition. Rav Chanoch Siegel of Vienna wrote to the author of the Nachla Shiva, asking him to retract his ruling. His reason was that in Germany, they carefully followed the rulings of the Maharil. In addition to other customs, they scrupulously followed. And if Nachla Shiva issues a ruling against the Maharil, those who hear the ruling will certainly rise to defend the honor of the Maharil. Furthermore, there's a strong halakh basis for the ruling. It's known that the principle of Ro, majority, example, majority of Goseis patients die, is a stronger principle than Chazaka presumption. Example, if we assume that a patient remains in his present condition until one hears differently. Therefore, if the patient was a Goseis, the principle of Ro, Gos in Lamita, indicates the patient has died and is inappropriate to daven for the recovery of someone who's dead. If the patient was not a Goseis, then the principle of Rove indicates that the patient recovered, and there's no reason to daven for someone who's healthy. Nachla Shiva responded that the issue of davening for the recovery of someone who's ill is a legal issue that is not subject to custom, thus the first concern is not relevant about following the Minhagim. Additionally, since patients who recover do not recover instantly, it's logical to assume that although the patient is on the road to recovery, he still requires the tefillos of others. Even if the patient was a ghost case, one should daven for his recovery, since there are a minority of patients who recover, even though they were ghosts of him. Therefore, one should be strict in daven that this patient should be amongst that minority who will recover. Okay, now, one story, that'll be it. Now, when the Rav who served in Prague before the notable Yehuda Zal was clearly at the end of his life, as he lay on his deathbed, distinguished members of his community approached his bed and asked them a burning question. So the notable Yehuda lived in the 18th century. So this is the Rav who was the rabbi in the community before the notable Yehuda. They, like all the Prague Jewish communities, know one thing. who's worthy to be appointed the next Rav for our illustrious city? The Rav's answer was enigmatic and extreme. Perhaps Rav Meir, he whispered. He never spoke again, and shortly thereafter passed away. After much puzzling regarding what the Rav could have meant, the community leaders had a brilliant idea. They would test suitable candidates by telling them the story and asking them to explain the Rav's cryptic reply. The man who could understand his meaning would be the new Rav of Prague. Okay, as they went from city to city, telling the riddle to any suitable candidate, all were completely flummoxed. Finally, they came to the town of Yampol, where the notable Yehuda then served as Rav. Immediately, after hearing their puzzle, he replied, in Gittin Daf Chavchet, we find that Gosisim, Rob Gosisim, Goldamita. For a mayor, doesn't agree with the majority, since he always takes account of the minority will live. He says, your Rav was put in language of the Gemara. Dim Rameir he, perhaps is Rameir. Although most Gosisim will die, perhaps in this case it will be as Rameir holds, and I will not die, and he will not need another Rav for the city. Everyone was astounded by the simple, yet brilliant insight, and the noted Yehuda was appointed Rav of the illustrious city of Prague. Okay, let me finish recording 1 second.